does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Hey, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that continues to champion the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting, as always, on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting over at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, an Overstreet Price Guide advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your newborn babies of the new year.
Babies of the new year.
Well, that's it's the first show of the new year. Well, and I really wanted to have a cool little saying.
Well, too late for that. Yeah, all right, listen, but we really should introduce our engineer and producer playing both roles today. And that is young Shecky Feldstein, Mr. Marty Berthelmer here to my left.
Yes, very young. Apparently newborn.
Newborn.
New person, new year.
I got tripped up.
Trying to say.
I got tripped up. I apologize. Yeah. That'll never happen again.
Because,
you know, we had the meeting before the show, right?
Yes.
And we pledge to bring quality experience entertainment to the listening audience over 2015.
Maybe we should have wrote and or rehearsed the opening, though, is what we should have been doing.
See?
Well, you know,
look at all the ideas.
Yeah, now he comes up with the ideas.
Yeah. Mr. Ideas here.
Yeah. You know, listen, we are here. This is our first show for the new year of 2015.
And we haven't done one in about 5 weeks. You can't tell.
No, you can't tell.
It's seamless. It's seamless with us.
I have been a little bit sick and with holidays, and you have been, I don't know, you're just going to be out of rehab, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm doing well, thanks.
Listen, we are here to talk
Cheers.
About We are here to talk about comics. We are here to champion the local comic book shop and just talk about comics and comic book industry and all kinds of wonderful things that the comic book industry has to offer. And to start things off, we always like to talk about new this week, and we always like to have a sponsor. So, Shecky Feldstein, do we have a sponsor for the new this week?
You know we do. New this week, brought to you by 2014's credit card companies, because without those 83.5% interest rates, how else would you afford those Christmas gifts?
Well, it's so true, eh? So true.
Man, they're so nice giving you 83.5% interest rates.
Yeah,
it's like practically giving you money.
It practically is.
Yeah.
Practically
wow.
Is. All right, listen, we are going to start the show off and talk. We missed last week.
Yes, we did.
We missed a few weeks, but we missed last week in particular because you and I were both sick. I had bronchitis. I think you had pneumonia or something.
Yeah.
And
what did I have?
You had shingles.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
You had the shakes.
The shakes. You got the Jimmy legs.
Oh, okay.
The hippie shakes.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
But one of the books that did come out last week although it didn't come out this week, we have to talk about it, and that is Star Wars number 1 by Marvel. Now, not for how many years, like 20 years probably,
at least
have we seen a Star Wars comic by Marvel, and so this is exciting.
Yeah,
this is very exciting.
We all know why it happened. Dark Horse did a hell of a job with Star Wars while it had it.
Yep.
And then, of course, after the writing was on the wall after Lucasfilm was incorporated into Disney.
That's right.
And then after Marvel was incorporated into Disney.
Yeah, it was bound to happen.
Yeah.
And all the new films coming down the pipeline, how could they not? This is just another advertising revenue for the films.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, like we discussed before, too, it's also a great R&D.
Comic books
are the best R&D for movies. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so this is very interesting. So this has all your usual characters, Han, Leia, C-3PO, Chewbacca.
and that guy, too, that you just did. Yeah, yeah.
Right. That was Chewbacca, by the way.
I thought it was like Jabba the Hutt or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's you know what? I love this book. The art is by John Cassidy, and it's written by Jason Aaron. Great book. And you know what? It's so much fun. It's got that old Marvel style fun comic books, right? It's hard to describe. It's a great book.
Gives you that warm fuzzy feeling.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. Now, I think I heard something like they sold 3 million copies.
No, a million. I think it was a million pre-orders for
million
that.
A million pre-orders. Yes. Okay, I was off by a couple million, but you know what?
What's a couple million between professionals like us?
Exactly. Yeah. We're professionals?
Absolutely.
Oh, right. Listen, it is a great book, and you know what? If you're a diehard Star Wars fan, I highly recommend picking it up. Also, coming up in the next few weeks, I can't remember exactly when it's coming out, is the Princess Leia book. So now, of course, now that Marvel has the Star Wars franchise again, of course, they're going to be doing just what Dark Horse had done with franchising all the different characters and everything. And there is going to be a Princess Leia book coming out, and that's by Terry Dodson, and he's one of my favorite artists as well. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Excellent. Star Wars number one was available at your local comic book shop last week. Hopefully it still is this week.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I'm sure there's lots of places that still have it. All right. Also by Marvel. Now, this one came out this week. I do want to talk about Elektra. So Elektra is one of those funny characters that seems to come and go. And it's
Elektra.
It's created by Frank Miller during the Daredevil series. And it was.
Remember her first issue appearance? Fair Sunshine?
I'm going to say, 181.
That's when she died.
Oh, it was close, though.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
What is it?
168.
All right, yeah, okay. Fine, be that way. You know
she
what?
Didn't last very long.
No. Well, a 14-issue run, a story arc. Of course, that's what kind of the movie was based on, whole Elektra arc.
Right. Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
What about
the Daredevil movie? Yeah, the Daredevil movie.
The Elektra movie.
The Elektra movie had nothing to do with anything.
No, the Daredevil movie.
I understood that now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, the Elektra movie had nothing to do with anything. In fact, I think it was actually loosely based on a Japanese anime called Ninja Scroll, where she has to go and it's kind of like she has to go off and fight all these different demons and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Was it Ninja Scroll? That was like one of the hentai. It had a lot of things going places.
It wasn't like the tentacle stuff. No.
No. Close?
Yeah. Well, that maybe a tentacle.
Just tell him yes. Yeah. Just get rid of him. Yes, Shecky,
sure.
Yes.
Man, listen.
I got some new shows to download tonight. <Yeah. laughs>
Listen, this Elektra book, this is by Hayden Blackman, and Michael Del Mundo is doing the art, and it's a good-looking book. It's got one of those – it's kind of like got that painted feel to it.
Tainted love.
I said painted, not tainted. Oh. Anyway, it's a good-looking book, good read. I highly recommend it.
Hey, Elektra number 10. Available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, I have from DC. I did want to talk about this. This is Justice League by Jeff Johns and
JJ.
JJ and by Jason Fabok.
You can call me Ray.
Interesting. It's a great looking book. You know,
is it a great looking book, Chris?
It really is. I actually really like the art on this one.
All right.
I'm still every time we talk about a new 52 book, I'm always a little iffy. I really never really quite caught on with it. But man, you know, this one has got all your favorite characters: Superman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor, and
Lex Luthor is not my favorite. He's a bad guy.
Well, he is a bad guy. But this one also has Batman, and I don't want to give it away. But by the end of the book, he does become infected with something.
Uh oh. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, that's Justice League number 38. Which is available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about this later on in the show.
Sure are.
But Powers. It started off as an indie book in Image by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming.
Yes.
And it was sort of like I don't know how to describe it. It's a
police procedural.
Police procedural book, like a detective book. Yeah. But it's about
like a Gotham Central.
Yeah, kind of like that, because they're talking about people that have
the same
powers.
But it's different.
It's the same but different. I say, anyways, it's a good book. Good book, long running book, and they've it's coming out again now because there's a new Powers TV show that's going to be appearing on the PlayStation.
Yeah,
PlayStation.
That's cool, how PlayStation's starting to do TV stuff.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But interesting.
They actually have an ad for the thing at the back and in the middle. At the back.
Is that it there? Hold on.
No, at the very back. The back, as in back of the book.
Oh, the back of the book.
Yeah, there's
the back cover.
Back cover. Oh, right, there it is.
Trying to help him out.
Coming this winter on PlayStation. But I think I think that was also an ad. See, there was actually an ad. I was on an ad, and then you told me to go to the other ad.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you to go somewhere else soon.
Oh, hey, yeah,
what
right.
What we've broken down is this book has a lot of ads.
A lot of ads.
for ads.
Paying ads, unlike this show.
Listen, all right, so those and many other books are available at your local comic book retailer today.
So head in and peruse the new this week.
All right, so let's we need to have a quick musical interlude to I think we need
to wash that out. Just to get rid of that aftertaste, too.
I feel like I need some sorbet or something.
You need a little bit of a quickie there, Chris?
Yeah, I need a little quickie to get things going again.
I think you got your fix, and I think it's very relevant.
All right, let's hear what you got going for us.
Yeah, I love that. So inspiring, that Superman theme. I love.
Yeah.
I was reminding me of Marlon Brando talking at the beginning.
Yeah, Superman theme. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
All right.
Good work.
So what do we do now?
Now we talk about industry news.
Industry news. You know what they say? You know they say it's like riding a bike?
Yeah?
It's kind of not.
It's kind of not, no.
No, because it's hard. Like, we got to get back into the groove.
This is difficult.
It is.
I know, but it's okay. We'll get back into it.
All right, let's work through it.
By next week, we will be old pros. It's not like we've done this for 5 years or anything.
No.
All right.
Okay.
Do we have a sponsor for industry news there, Young Shecky?
Absolutely, Chris. As usual, starting off the new year, we've got the greatest of sponsors.
Oh, of course.
We've got Don Pardo, apparently. He's just started working for us.
Industry news brought to you by A Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Oh, boy.
Where Disney not only creates your dreams, but sells them for a tidy profit.
That is true. They do
they're
that.
They're good at that, Disney.
They're good at that, All right. They got the whole world wrapped up there.
Okay, Chris, let me start the segment.
The dialogue. Okay? The discussion.
I don't know the rest of the taps.
That was what? I don't even know what that is.
Taps.
You know, like at a funeral.
Right,
yeah. I get it.
Oh man.
Right,
yeah, that's way better. You should have done it.
No, yeah, I probably should have, but I'm glad I didn't. Listen. You know what? I think we all need to bow our heads and take a moment of silence. The Marvel Universe, as we know it, is dying.
Is dying.
It will.
It will die soon.
It will die soon.
Disappear forever.
As we know it.
As we know it.
Gone.
Gone.
Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust.
Dust to dust. We know Major Tom's junkie.
I didn't realize this was a Bowie song.
Obviously, the big news come out yesterday is that as of the Secret Wars coming out in April, I think, Marvel had a press conference yesterday saying that, the Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe are going to basically stop to exist, that's and they're right. going to all kind of go through. What's this? What was that thing called, Battle World or something?
Well, okay, so let's just back it up here for a minute.
Okay, yeah. Beep, you know, beep, I did such a beep, terrible job beep, of explaining
I know,
it.
I know.
Why don't you try to explain it?
Back in the day, now we'll talk about comics that you're aware of. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Try to keep
short
it
list.
It's a short list. So back in the day, you remember that Marvel superheroes Secret Wars, right? That 12 issue miniseries that came out in the 1980s. You're aware
of
that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that's so. You scared me for a minute there.
No.
You looked like you didn't know what I was.
I was thinking
about.
Of the Secret Wars that came out in the 2000s.
Okay. Yeah. Don't.
You know that glossy cover.
Yeah. Forget
right.
about that.
Okay.
About
okay.
That.
Okay.
So Secret Wars that came out in the 1980s, basically in that series, there's sort of like this omnipotent type character who decides he's kind of interested in all the different universes, and he for some reason he focuses on Earth, and he kind of he wants to know all about good and evil, so he takes all these good people and all these bad people and put them together, and he creates this world called Battle World, right?
Oh.
So Battle World was actually a conglomeration of different areas of the Earth and other planets and other like areas of the universe and stuff like that, and other machinery.
I got it.
So basically, he tries to pit all the good guys versus all the bad guys together in this 12-issue miniseries. And from that,
the guy needs to be entertained.
Basically. Yeah, he was the Beyonder.
Right.
Right. And that's where we got characters like Titana from. We got the Black Spider-Man costume from that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, a lot of things happened in that series. Well, now they're going back to the well again, and they're coming out with another Secret Wars. This is going to be an 8-issue series, except this time there's going to be more consequences. So much like the DC Universe had their – they basically ended it, and they came up with New 52.
Right.
Now Marvel Universe, they're kind of doing it in a story format, kind of like the way Crisis did it. Remember Crisis on Infinite Earths? They had that 12-issue miniseries with DC, and also back at the same time that Secret Wars
right
was
around
happening,
that, in the 80s. Yeah.
In the 80s. And they because what was happening, all these different universes were sort of existing, and they wanted to make it one universe.
Right.
Marvel's basically doing the same thing.
Yes.
They're doing it because the Marvel Universe as we know it is actually called Marvel 616.
616, yeah.
616. Yeah. That's sort of like the Marvel Universe as we know it. They're trying to get rid of that because they've got the Ultimate Universe and the regular Marvel Universe. So they're saying that all the Marvel Universes together are going to kind of smash together and have eventually the outcome will be one giant regular Marvel Universe.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But the problem is that the what
there's always a
happen,
problem. There's always
well,
a catch.
The problem here is that we don't know. Like, so they've got the Miles Morales Spider-Man. We've got the Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As far as I know, there can only be one Spider-Man.
Well, you
so.
Got the October Octavius Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I think he's. I don't know if he's back yet or if he's.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah. I think that happened some time ago.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Though.
It's all the different Marvel universes are now going to be ceasing to exist, and they're going to have one regular post Secret Wars Marvel universe. So, and it's going to be called the All New Marvel. So here as the press release here said, we now know that the Marvel Universe post Secret Wars will be an all new world combining elements of not just the Ultimate Universe and the mainstream universe, but possibly bits and pieces from other worlds as well. Because they're saying that it's like a DC, like the all infinite universes, and they're going to just call it the All New Marvel.
Nice.
And now this has started. This has been in the making for years because Jonathan Hickman actually started doing this in the New Avengers and Avengers comic, which has been running for a couple of years now.
Okay.
And now,
so I read that line. Hold on. So, I'd like to comment on that line.
Okay, go ahead.
Your Honor, I'd like to comment on that line if I would.
Yes, you in the back.
So the culmination of Jonathan Hickman's plans from when he first came onto Avengers and New Avengers.
Right.
So, okay, here's the largest concern in comics that's spewing out trillions of dollars in film revenues.
Yep.
And we're some schmo named Jonathan Hickman goes, hey guys, I got an idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like they bought it. Like, so it's like, I mean, what if the guy's a DC plant, you know, like what if, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
So he went home one day and he had this brilliant idea. Let's kill everything and let's just start all over again.
Yep.
And they went for it. I think, but my point, I guess, is, and what people are asking
right.
Is this a quote unquote slash unslash copy of DC's wiping out of their universe and restarting everything with?
I think it is, but I think it isn't. I think they're doing it the way it's funny. It seems like they're doing it the way they rebooted DC back years ago, back in the 1980s,
yeah,
when they did the Crisis on Infinite Earths,
right,
where they kind of amalgamated everything and had one giant universe rather than, you know,
because if you remember in 87, the new Superman with the Byrne started, the new Flash series started, new Wonder Woman series started, so
all that kind of restarted, and I think that's what they're trying to do with this. You know, so it's not that the characters are going to cease to exist. They're not going to change the costumes, or as far as I know, anyways. It's not like they're just all of a sudden starting brand new afresh. It's just the world is starting.
Okay, so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Do you think it's a good idea?
You know what? Here's the problem with comic books in general.
Yeah.
It's a giant soap opera, right?
Yeah.
And much like The Days of Our Lives and, you know, The Young and the Restless,
happened to Victor last week?
Yeah, I know. I can't believe it.
Unbelievable. Can you get with the nerve of her?
With chimpanzees.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
But you know what?
Lucky he brought his tie, or else he wouldn't have got out of that.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was practically MacGruber there.
MacGruber.
Listen.
Okay, anyway.
Listen. It's a giant soap opera, right? And they can't kill off the characters because the fans won't let them. Right? And so something has to happen where you've got, you know, these characters started in, 1961? So you've got...
Well, one of them did, but yeah.
Well, you've got almost 60 years, more than, you know, let's say 50 years anyways, of comic characters that, you know, how many different stories can you possibly tell about, you know, Captain America? Without it getting, okay, well, here we go again.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to somehow reboot it, especially for a newer audience.
Yeah.
And now that Marvel is becoming this huge machine, and they've got movies, and they've got video games, and all kinds of things, and people are loving everything, they need to feed it to a newer audience that is going to be able to, you know, grasp it. Because all of a sudden people, I mean, comic books are cool again now, right?
Like,
you know, the superheroes are cool.
Yep.
And now people are going to want to be able to, you know, jump onto the bandwagon and not have to worry about 50 years of history.
I agree with you under one condition that I hope what Marvel does. And DC has tried this, and you know, when they restart, I hope it's the same old complaint, right? I just, especially with Marvel, is I hope they try to go for longevity rather than, you know, by issue 7, they're already kind of doing another thing, and then they go back to, you know, the old numbering system.
Right, right.
And so you need an accountant to figure out, you know, Wolverine's true numbering system
because
of the 17 different series he's had, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, from what I understand, from what we're reading, I don't think really much changes other than kind of the slate is wiped clean and a whole bunch of new number ones come out in a kind of new and improved, a brave new world of Marvel.
Right. But they can, as it says here, driving home the point that anything will be possible. So Axel Alonso, he's the editor-in-chief, he said, also teased at the possibility of bringing back old characters during Secret Wars.
Right.
For example, if we wanted to resurrect Gwen Stacy, this would be the place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's – they can do basically anything they want now because they can go to another universe, another Marvel universe, and say, well, you can go to 617 or whatever it happens to be and say, well, that's the universe that Gwen Stacy's still alive. So she's going to now be part of the regular universe because it's now all one big universe.
Yeah.
Right? So they can do whatever they want, which can be a good thing.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, yours and mine, I guess our biggest concern is, how does this affect the local comic book shop?
Right.
You know, will this be good for the local comic book shop? I think time and again, you know, I'll say it until I'm blue, time and again, you know, titles like Batman have proved that you get a good creative team, you give them a nice long-term plan, you let them run with it, you make them create beautiful stories that arc over other stories that arc into massive arcs and that are all tied together, that really get the reader engaged and involved. And you don't have to reboot all the time. And you know, I know they're going to do it with good intentions, and I know a whole bunch of new creative teams are going to start on new books and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's just, man, I just don't want it to, you know, the concern is, especially with Marvel, is that, you know, a year later, they're pulling some other gimmick.
Right.
And that's
right.
Kind of a legitimate concern
for, sure.
for most people with Marvel.
I think we don't know, I guess one of the things we don't know about this is post-Secret Wars, is the history of the characters going to be remembered? So the Spider-Man... You know, in that, whatever the post-Secret Wars, is he going to remember having battled Doc Ock 50,000 times?
Right.
Or is it going to be a brand new Spider-Man with a brand new number one and he's never done anything?
Like no canon.
Like no canon, like a DC New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just going to be like, hey, we're going to pick and choose what part of the history we like?
All right. Well, listen, I'm for new things.
Yeah.
So let's run with this. Let's hope that they put a good foot forward, and let's just hope this works.
All right, sounds good.
You got to remember too, DC did the same or similar thing, like we're comparing it to.
Yeah,
and it seemed to have worked out pretty well for them.
Mm-hmm.
The whole kickstart for the new generation seemed to be the right spot.
Yep.
So Star Wars, you know, is starting off again for a new fan base, and maybe the whole Marvel line can do the same thing.
Yep, for sure. I think. I like the idea of the Secret Wars,
mm-hmm.
so I think time will tell.
So comic culture's consensus is that this is a good thing.
Good thing.
And good, thing. Good things will come of it.
Until it's proven to not be a good thing, one will rag on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There you go, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Big time.
I told you so.
I told you so.
Yeah, all right, let's have a quick musical interlude, and we'll go on to our next topics.
Sounds good.
All right.
Aqua.
I don't know what that was.
Wow.
We're having some issues with our engineering right now.
Yeah.
So you know what? Do we need? You know what? Let's
that was quite a song. Pretty well, all we needed.
That's good. You know what? That's good.
Amazing.
Enough.
Amazing.
We'll just go right to our next topic.
To our engineer's defense,
yes.
I saw him poke a big fat finger at a picture of Aquaman.
Oh.
And that song came out.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Hmm. So never poke Aquaman again.
Well, that's what
Shecky.
You know what?
But I can't resist. So.
Okay, so let's keep going. Let's talk about. Want to look ahead to 2015.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, let's look ahead to 2015. It's the first day, not the first day, but it's our first show of 2015.
Yeah. So let's look ahead,
and we kind of are going to look ahead at 2015 and ask some pertinent questions.
All right, what kind of questions are you going to ask?
Like 2014 was a massive year for Comic Cons.
Right,
records were broken all across the board.
Right.
Okay. Will that trend continue? How big can cons get? Are they capped out?
Well, I think they're getting to be. And I have a feeling what's going to happen is there's always going to be the enormous shows, but
yeah.
I think we're seeing a resurgence of the smaller local Comic-Con.
Right.
Like, so, you know, we have the Hamilton Con,
mm-hmm.
the Niagara Falls Comic-Con. Now, I know people that are booking hotel rooms who never used to go to any conventions, and they're already booking hotel rooms for the Niagara Falls Comic Convention.
Right.
Right? So this is something that they're excited about because it's closer to them, it's local, it's something that they can afford, it's something that they don't have to go to, you know, New York City or San Diego or Chicago.
Yeah. Or downtown Toronto.
Or downtown Toronto. Mm-hmm. The lineups aren't as big. They kind of get their fill of the comic nerddom.
Yeah.
And the smaller shows are doing okay as far as bringing in guests.
And you're right. And take that a little bit further. Even within the massive centers like Toronto, there has been a ground kind of like grassroots growth in just simple one-day Comic-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
I attended one a month ago.
Right, right.
And it was like – it's like the antithesis of Fan Expo.
Right.
It's Sunday only.
Yep.
maybe 1,000 or 800 people come,
yep.
and it's maybe 25 dealers just bring comic books.
Did you set up at that show?
No, I didn't, but I just went to go say hi to some people and just check it out.
Yep.
And it was busy.
Yep.
People were happy. They paid, what, $8 or $5 to get in. And every table they went to had comics, which is all they were interested in.
Right. And I think, you know, and that's great because, you know what, sometimes these great big shows – you know, you go to, say, Fan Expo, and there are a few comic book dealers, but there's also a lot of toy dealers and horror dealers and sci-fi dealers and anime and yada, yada, yada. And it's nice to go. I mean, you and I are old enough that we used to go to shows down in, you know, the Bond Street Hotel or or the Holiday Inn or wherever it happened to be in Toronto.
Ontario College of Art.
Ontario College of Art, where you'd go there and it would be nothing but, you know, maybe 50 dealers or 25 dealers, only comic book dealers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to a comic book show, and sometimes you don't, even though it's a comic book show, there may only be 5 comic book dealers there.
I know. Well, you know what the problem is, too, at Fan Expo or places like that?
Yeah.
You go in there, and because, like, a booth costs, you know, $800,000,
right.
all you get is those, like, those really big, overpriced outfit comic guys
comic
like,
dealers,
like,
Harley Yee.
Like Harley Yee, Bigby Comics. Those guys, they just overcharge
for
everything.
And you can't go there and get a good deal.
No, you can't.
No,
right?
I know.
And so, because they have to cover their table.
That's right. They don't even hire the right people there.
you're telling me. I think that was a jibe. luckily in the Big B department, luckily I don't do the hiring.
Oh, right.
We get more competent people to do that.
Yeah, right.
So what we're seeing with the Comic-Con, really what we're seeing with the Comic-Con market is continued growth, and it's splintering.
It's got
the big ones happening, and then mini ones are happening, and then little anti ones are happening around them.
Yeah. So it's almost becoming a... It's funny. It's becoming – there's a specialty market occurring within a specialty market.
Yeah.
Like you think that – okay, the specialty market is nerddom, right? Well, now it's like it's just comic books and just toys and just those other things that are occurring now.
All right.
I think it's great.
Listen, we encourage everybody to go out to at least one Comic-Con this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Preferably one I'm set up at.
We'll see. The jury's still out on that one.
Right. Okay, let's keep going. Hey, how will the Canadian dollar kind of weakness affect sales in Canada? Canadian comic book shops, which we champion, now are having to pass on the extra costs.
I know. You go to your local comic book shop, and they're actually some of them are saying, well, I have to charge you a little bit extra this week because...
Some of them are charging 20% extra on a new comic.
So that's what the dollar's at, though.
Yeah, I know.
You have to,
right? Yeah. And it's hard because local comic book shop... And here's the... It's not a problem, actually. You and I, we've championed this for years. The thing with your local comic book shop, it provides you... that comic book community that you love so much. You love going in there.
Absolutely.
That rent costs a lot of money.
Yep.
Those very knowledgeable people that work there, they need to be paid properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the overhead has to be covered.
Yep.
Things go unsold, things go damaged, things go... So... They have to pass on this cost.
Their
margins are – these aren't large businesses.
There's nothing new there.
Right.
The only thing is that it's a pain in the butt because now you think, okay, I'm going to buy this comic that's $350.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go up to the shop or you're going to go up to pay for it, and all of a sudden you're paying an extra 20%. Right?
I know.
But I think that most places now, since they've taken off the Canadian price of all the comics, I think most places, most customers who are regulars, they understand that there could be fluctuations in the price.
Right. And I think as long as the local comic book shop, and this is what I guess we'll preach, is honest and fair about their exchange.
Yep.
So if it happens to be 20% right now and a $2.99 book is $3.59 now, don't put $4 on it.
No.
Right.
That's right.
Oh yeah, US dollar. It's $7.24 this week.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So
but it has
to be done because in order for you to be a viable business,
you have to do it. Good comic book shops should also, when the dollar is high, they should also lower the price of the book.
Well, and most had they were at par.
Yeah.
They were at
par,
and the Canadian dollar never appreciated to the point where it was ridiculous. I think it got to 93, 94 cents for a couple months, and people kept it at par. I don't think many were making a 5% discount. Right. But generally speaking, they are at a cost.
I remember working for a comic book store when I was younger.
Yeah.
May have been Big B Comics. I don't know. Can't recall.
Neither can I.
But I do remember seeing like the Canadian price tag on the comics because the dollar was so bad back then.
It was really bad.
$40, $60.
Yeah.
And they actually printed a Canadian price tag on it. Like, are they trying never to do that again?
Yeah. I think the consensus with comic shops is that they don't want it done because what happens is it's really hard for that kind of template to change month to month. Mm-hmm. And because there are large and quick swings in exchange rates, it's not fair to the customer, and sometimes it's not fair to the comic shop.
I could be wrong about this, but I think like back in the 80s when it was no big deal to have, you know, maybe $1.50 or $1.75 on a price tag, the price swing in the dollar, whether it was a dollar, you know, it was 70 cents or 72 cents compared to the American dollar, it didn't swing a whole lot like it is now.
I know.
Like it's kind of up and down all the time, right?
I know. All right. Anyway, so we encourage everybody to understand what the local comic book shops are going through with the increase in dollar. Now, hey, let's talk about quickly. Big, huge year in 2014 for back issue comics.
Yes.
Record set across the board.
Yes.
It's gone nuts. It's gone insane. Every single minor mini key with a first appearance of something stupid is through the roof.
Now, okay, so here's my question to you. Is this something that you do you think is going to continue, especially with all the – not so much with the major books. I think we need to divide this into two questions. First of all, are the major key issues, the first ones of Spider-Man and Batman, are they still worth investing in? And secondly, is it worth investing in, you know, things like the second appearance of Groot in Hulk Annual number 5.
Is that an ego stroke there, Chris? Are you hoping that we say yes just for your sake?
No, I'm just curious.
I think yes to both. I think there's still room.
Yeah.
I still think there's room for your Batmans and your Spider-Mans and your Hulks.
Right, right.
And I think though the opportunity lies more in your group second appearances and stuff, because even though your Spider-Mans are, you'd think they've capped out, probably haven't, but there's growth, but it's not going to be ridiculous.
I mean, is it kind of like where, you know, with the price of gold, we're like, oh man, it's at $1,000. It can't possibly get any higher.
No, because gold is different.
Well, and then all of a sudden it goes higher.
No, but gold is a different type of commodity because gold, there's a finite amount in the world. And
isn't there a finite amount of
no,
care,
no, no, it's
issues?
Different. But gold only has use as a store.
He's putting them off in the back of the store.
Gold only has use as kind of a store of value, as a something to peg currency against, or something to peg value against.
Right.
These are almost like art. It's a subjective type of thing, right? It's like I want to pay $104 million for that Picasso,
right?
But 2 years ago, it was bought for like $19 million, right?
Right. Right.
Because
no,
I'm not going to sell it unless somebody gives me $104, and then some guy gives him $104.
Right. Okay.
You can't do that with gold. You know, gold. This is a normally traded commodity that's uniform throughout all the ounces, all the millions and billions of ounces in the world that are trading are all the same.
Right.
And
right,
so they're all
right,
pegged
right.
at the same rate.
Right.
So it's a different thing. Right. So whereas I think we're entering in, we've already entered in, but we're entering deeper into a culture where these characters that are pervasive in society become like a treasured commodity, and the first comic book, the comic book that ushered them into popular culture, into the public domain, are important document, historical documents. That's the
right.
way they're looked
yep.
at.
Right.
Whether it's a Deadpool, New Mutants 98,
yep.
or Detective 27, they're both the same. They
right.
both deliver
okay.
the same thing.
All right, that's
right.
fair. Yep.
I would have to say, similar to what Walt's saying, but in a quicker summary, I think all the old first ofs, like, you know, the original Batman and Detective Comics, even Spidey and Amazing Fantasy, they're old enough that they're so scarce, they're difficult to find,
right,
especially
right.
in a premium grade.
Yep, yep.
They'll retain their value and keep going up consistently like an interest rate. Like,
right, right.
As time goes on, it'll just keep appreciating. However, the ones in the middle somewhere, because, again, Marvel and DC have announced all these movies. So
yep.
all these mid-range B, C-list characters – their properties have spiked, and if they're from the 70s, 80s, I don't think they have too much more room to grow because they're not that old, really hard-to-find 40s book,
right?
You know, or
right.
39 Superman, Batman sort of copy. They don't have that much more room to keep appreciating, I don't find.
Right, right.
So now what you're really looking at is, like, you're looking at your Groot, you know, whatever appearances of characters that aren't on the radar yet.
Right, okay,
and Marvel's
fair.
Announced 5 years, so you really you have a few years to kind of really nitpick and go through and speculate on your own.
Yeah.
Spend $2 on a book that might be worth 50 once it gets announced 3 years from now.
Right.
Yeah. But really, the oldest key sound books will always keep going up.
I think
so. And then those unknown ones that go from 50 cents one day to $50 the next day because it gets announced 3 years from now.
Yeah.
I think those two categories have the most room of growth. All the 70s, 80s ones like the Groots, the Rock Raccoons, they've peaked. They're as high as they can be because there's so many. They're from the 70s, 80s. They're relatively modern.
You never know, Marty. In my opinion. Okay, well, in your opinion.
All right.
Luckily, you know, my opinion matters more. I'm just kidding. Shecky, I didn't mean it the way it came out.
Sure you did.
Anyway, hey, listen. So while we're on 2015, I thought I'd do a little. I thought I'd go out on the limb.
Oh, all right, out on the limb.
Out on a limb. On a ledge. I'm going to climb out onto the ledge right now.
Oh
guys.
Boy.
Whoa, get down.
I
want to
talk.
No,
back
I'm
off
doing
the ledge.
It. I'm right. doing it.
Let's. What do you got to say?
I'm going
to
make some bold 2015 predictions.
Oh boy, here we go. All right.
Yeah.
Bold.
Because I am an Overstreet Price Guide advisor.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Award winning. When you win the Comic Shop Award? I don't know what that is, but I won something.
Award winning comic.
Award winning comic shop
cheat.
Guy.
Yeah.
I cheated. Award. Sure. So you know, I'm obviously a guy that knows stuff.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
So here are some predictions for
2015.
Okay,
yeah, I want to hear it.
Now, you guys can write these down, and you can test me when we do our first show of 2016.
I'm probably not going to write them down.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I will put them in my phone.
Yeah, please. All right, the first one.
Yeah.
Batman and Aquaman will marry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Together?
Who they'll marry, we're not sure, but they're going to marry.
I thought they meant to each other.
Oh. Right. Well, see where your mind goes?
Well, I'm just curious.
It's like that Superman, the ape cover with the where he's the witch
doctor. Yeah, Jimmy Olsen.
Like,
yeah.
Who knows what happens in an episode like that.
You never know.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Robert Downey Jr. will win all the Iron Man competitions of 2015.
Oh.
Because he simply is the best Iron Man.
Well, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
Like all the powerlifting.
But, you know, I didn't know that he was a triathlete, though.
Yeah.
You didn't?
No.
Well, it shows how much you know about modern agriculture.
It's so true.
Hey, Shecky Feldstein in 2015.
Oh, here, listen up.
We'll find a girlfriend.
Oh, come on now. I mean, I believe that.
You know, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
That's my toughest one out of the thing.
But I have
confidence in the kid.
The first two of your things were more believable than that one.
Yeah. Even with Batman marrying Aquaman.
Hey, in 2015, Stan Lee comes clean and credits Mickey Rooney with everything.
Jiminy Jillikers.
Yeah. Okay, let me see what else I've predicted. Okay.
Is that guy still alive, Mickey Rooney?
No, he passed away
a year or two ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay,
this is a bold one and one I'm going to go out on a limb for.
Oh,
Detective Comics number 27
will
set a new record for a comic book sold. There's a new 9.2 that got onto the census recently.
Yeah.
It's the only 9.2 that exists.
Okay.
And I predict that it'll sell north of $4 million if and when it goes on the market.
$4 million.
Yep. That's my prediction.
Hold on. So you're saying that in
2015.
First of all, that book's going to sell.
That book just got graded about a few months ago.
Okay.
And that guy or girl that's sitting on that book, they're going, man, what should I do with this? And they're, you know, the little guy on the shoulder?
Yeah.
Sell it. The little devil and the little angel goes, No, keep it.
Where did this book come from?
I don't know.
Some guy's attic?
Yeah, probably. Or I don't know.
Or your printing press.
Okay, but hold on. So not only are you going to say that not only is that book going to sell.
The girl or guy will cave.
They're going to cave. Yeah. But that book's going to sell in 2015.
For north of $4 million.
Or over $4 million.
What's the grade on the best action one?
9-0.
Yeah? You think it's going to sell for that much more than that?
Well, you know what? The problem with grades is once you have the highest grade, the grade is kind of irrelevant.
So you think it's going to sell for more than the highest grade of an action?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Hey, these are 2015 predictions, aren't they?
You're being bold. You did say you're being bold.
Okay, keep going, Kreskin.
Okay. Chris Owen.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
We'll switch back to Crown Royal in 2015.
No. No, that one.
I am making the prediction.
Right out.
And he'll be on a camping trip.
Yeah.
He'll wake up in the morning, crack a beer like he always does on camping. That's brags about it,
you're
too.
You're allowed to, though. Yeah. I hear you're allowed. Yeah.
And then one night, some schmuck's going to open up a Crown Royal.
Yeah.
And Chris will re-fall in love with that drink.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Right. The jury's way out on that one.
Like I said, I'm really bold.
All right.
All right. DP7, a movie will be announced starring Jenna Jameson and Christy Canyon, since they were in all the other DP movies before.
Okay.
I think they were in DP1 and DP2.
Wait. For our comic book listeners, they need to know.
Yeah, what are we talking about right now?
There was a comic book that came out in the 80s or maybe possibly early 90s. I think it was the 80s. Called DP7.
Right, yeah. That's, of course, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying. It was a Marvel comic book.
Yes.
Okay. I was just saying.
Okay.
And it was about, I think one of the guy's powers, he could spit into his hand and it'd become corrosive.
Oh, there's a lot of spitting going on in these movies.
Oh, boy. Maybe not on his hand, though.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Hey, you know, these are bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
I'm running.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
There will be a publishing merger.
Oh.
I'm serious about this.
Okay.
I predict in 2015 that Disney Marvel will buy out Archie Publications.
Oh.
And take Archie into the Marvel fold and make a big Archie movie.
I could actually see that happening.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I could actually see that. You know what? Of all your predictions.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. What's wrong? That might be tangible. That might actually be real.
I could actually see that happening.
Hey, I am making. The Kreskin cap is on.
Did someone else tell you
these
this?
Things came to me.
Someone else told you this.
No. These things came to me.
Okay, Kreskin, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. The DP7 came last night.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Easy there, Deep Throat.
Shaggy and Fred from Scooby-Doo will come out of the closet.
Oh.
Once they hear that the creeper has gone.
Right.
Right.
Right. Because they're hiding.
Because they were hiding from the shoe. What were you thinking?
They were in there with Velma.
Right.
Playing Spin the Bottle.
Yeah. And my last prediction.
Planning on DP8.
My last prediction. My last prediction is Wonder Woman will get knocked up.
Oh.
She'll blame the Invisible Man. That's it, guys. That's the joke.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's good.
And,
that's
good. I love ending strong.
Yeah. Way to have a strong ending to that one.
Is that because he was hiding in her invisible jet? She couldn't
Don't torture any the listeners any longer than I've already tortured them. So anyway, those are my predictions for 2015.
You know what?
Now, I know I've got you guys on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to talk and ramble for about 4 seconds while you prepare a prediction because you don't know I'm about to ask you what a prediction Give me a prediction of something that's going to happen in the comic book industry that people will not see coming in 2015.
Okay. I'm going to say that Disney is also going to buy up the – Image comic book company.
Look
because
at you.
They also like all the Image type titles as well because of Walking Dead. They want to expand their non-superhero line of movies to include Walking Dead and Saga. All those other kinds of things.
All right. How about you, Shucky?
You know what I'm going to go with? I don't know yet. So that was a question. Do you know what I'm going to go with?
Yeah, you're going to say, I know, because you were talking to me about it earlier. You go, guys, I predict comic culture is going to have a banner year in 2015.
No, why would I ever say something like that?
Okay,
no.
You know what? I have another prediction.
Okay, go ahead.
I also predict that, so after Jenna Jameson makes the DP7 movie, they're going to continue with the new universe line of movies and go on with Spitfire.
Nice.
That's the other movie that they're going to make.
Spitfire.
Yeah.
Love it. Whew.
But you know what? If I had to actually guess something, okay, here I am. You know how Sony got hacked?
Yeah.
You know, and it's all hearsay of whether it's North Korea or whatever. You know, Sony's a pretty big movie studio. You know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I feel like it's only going to lend to other hackers that such things can be done.
Yes.
And I bet there's going to be some sort of major hack made on Disney, and all the plots, all the scripts, everything's going to get spoiled. People are going to steal information based on the 5-year plan
that
Disney has for all the Marvel films. Nerds. Just nerds wanting to know all this information.
Yeah.
They'll hack and spoil it.
It's like that WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what Disney leaks.
Yeah.
Disney leaks.
All right. I like it.
Wow. Yeah. I heard through the grapevine that the DP7, the male role, the actor that got the job is the superhero is that North Star.
Peter North Star.
Yeah.
I hear he's very talented.
He is. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Listen. Let's do a quick musical interlude here. See if we can get some Spider-Man music going here. We'll see how that turns out.
Man, one can only hope.
Yeah. Let's give it a try.
Where's the singing?
You know, I think
I was gonna break into song.
It's funny you say that because I was thinking the same thing, and I think it's like the end credits of the Wonder Woman thing,
right? No, you know what that is? That's the karaoke version.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, we should have been singing.
Yeah, we should have.
All right, listen.
I think we've tortured these people enough.
Well, that is very true. Yeah, it's a good first show for the year. Now here's a little tidbit for you.
Tidbit.
Wizard World is acquiring Pittsburgh Comic-Con.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Wizard World, the company we brag on
because
they're buying 800 Comic-Cons a year
and then
selling 700 of them back.
Yeah.
Has now bought the Pittsburgh Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting.
Now, I know that you
are
a frequent flyer.
Yes.
To the Pittsburgh Comic-Con. Yes, you've gone probably a half dozen times.
At least.
And so you always told me that it was one of your favorite Comic-Cons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the way they treated the guests, the way the hotel was situated next to the con.
Yep.
Everything was just the way everybody was relaxed because it wasn't the super-duper con.
Yep.
And Wizard World.
Okay, so here's the thing. Thank you. This show, so when it was just Pittsburgh Comic Con, now when I first started going to it, it was at a hotel convention center kind of thing. It was still,
that's why the guy that killed his wife was still running it, right?
Did
he get convicted
for
that?
That is true. I think
allegedly.
I don't think he got convicted for it.
All right. Okay.
So this show is a good show, and it for some reason the Pittsburgh show is one of those little kind of little comic book conventions where it attracted a lot of great artists and writers and guests and things like, you know, it had and it was also situated right next to the Pittsburgh Mall. It was actually in Monroeville.
Right.
Okay. So even though it's called the Pittsburgh Comic Con, it's actually in Monroeville and it was right next to the mall where they shot Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. So I know all about that. I was at the Monroeville Mall. Yeah.
So it would be a combination kind of comic book convention as well as a bit of a horror, not so much horror, but more of a Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead
whole old school classic zombie vibe.
Zombie mall walk, and they would have
very patriotic about all things George Romero there in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
yeah, and great show. I mean, that's where I met. Feldstein.
Shecky?
No.
You mean the original Feldstein?
The original Feldstein.
Yeah. His dad.
From the EC Comics, who was also the editor of Mad Magazine for a long time.
Yeah, I remember Feldstein.
You know, so a lot of great writers, a lot of great creators were there. I had a lot of great. Actually, that's also where I met. Geez, you know, I can't even think of all the guys. Who's the DC equivalent from the
Schwartz?
Julius Schwartz. Yeah, Julius Schwartz. Yeah. Met him a number of times. He told me a number of great stories. Uh-huh. Great guy. And so it was just one of these little shows. Even though it was a small show, it had a great bunch of people that were going to it. And then they built this brand new David Lawrence Convention Center, and it kind of got a little bit bigger. And it was nicer because now it's a great bigger spot, bigger convention area. And you know what? It just continued to grow, and they did it the right way, where they were growing it at a good pace. They weren't trying to outdo each other, or they weren't trying to bring in all these crazy guests and have you know. It's a great show, and it's coming from the Hamilton area. It's a show that you can get to in roughly 5 hours.
Yeah,
you know, so even if you wanted to, hey, you say 6 hours, I'm saying 5 hours. I'm just saying.
Never
mind.
Something like that.
You say six.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where you could. If you wanted to, you could go in the morning and come back on the same day, right?
Yeah.
I would always stay overnight because it's just fun to hang out. But I met a lot of great friends there, and it's just a really good show.
So do you think Wizard will do well with Pittsburgh?
I think they will. I think this is one of those shows where I think they're actually going to do very well with this one.
Right. Because I'm not gonna poo-poo Wizard per se, because I still think that Wizard hosts the greatest comic show in the world for comic books, which is the Chicago Comic-Con in August.
Great. I agree.
If you want to buy old comic books,
forget
New York, forget San Diego, forget Fan Expo, forget
and
everything.
And that's what, you know, that's what this Pittsburgh show was all about.
Uh-huh.
For me, you know, I would go down with a bunch of buddies, and we would, you know, spend the first day going around trying to buy the stuff that you really wanted. And then the second and third day, you kind of just go start rooting for books, and you go root through bins and just finding little gems here and there.
Yeah.
And you'd get to know people, and you'd talk to them, and they would remember you from year to year because it's a mom-pop kind of show.
Yeah.
You know, the tables weren't super expensive like we were just talking about.
Right.
So you didn't have your big bees and your metropolises there.
Yeah, those buggers.
You had smaller type guys, and they were willing to deal.
Yeah, you got George's Attic or something.
That's right,
like that.
No, a really good show. I really enjoyed that show.
All right,
And when you're going down there, you can also go to Primanti Brothers, and that's the place.
Oh, where, yeah, the sandwich
sandwiches,
place.
And you can get a hamburger with French fries.
Do they make
right
the
on the,
the wine too?
The wine?
Yeah,
no,
Spumanti Bambino.
Not Spumanti Brothers.
But that's Spumantino now.
Yeah, it's all about fries on everything: pulled pork sandwiches, burgers.
Yeah,
it's great.
I had a
tradition.
Yeah, I had a hamburger there with French fries and a fried egg on it. I thought my heart was going to collapse, but it was delicious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we just have a little bit more time. You mentioned the book at the beginning. Let's remind everybody that Powers.
Yes.
The TV series will
be debuting on March the 10th on the PlayStation Network.
How does that work, guys? I'm an old guy. So,
Nowadays,
do you just log into your PlayStation and they have
kind of because nowadays,
TV stuff?
For the next generation, the PS4s and the Xbox Ones or whatever, you have to actually get an online account. So it's almost like a Netflix account, but now you need it for your gaming.
So
console.
Is there like a menu where they go, here's where you download games, and here's where you can download
content. It's like an
exclusive
PS4 store
interface.
Oh, cool.
And you have to pay. So every time somebody watches a Powers, do they have to pay? Or is it like they subscribe to...
I don't know about that.
It seems like it's actually going to be free for the PlayStation
members. Oh, yeah,
it says here
the first episode will be free, but all the rest of the episodes will be available, at least at first, to only those who are PlayStation Plus memberships.
Meaning you're paying $60
so you're
a year.
You're paying more to get that feed.
That's right.
Like a Netflix type of
thing. So it's like you're getting exclusive Netflix content, but now it's transferring over to Sony.
That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Interesting. You know what that means? Because you got, what, PlayStation is that PS4?
Yep. Yeah.
And then Xbox will do the same thing, similar.
Perhaps,
they could,
Then you have, I read somewhere that Amazon is doing something similar.
Amazon's doing something. Netflix.
Netflix.
And then there's three other online.
And never mind your HBOs and stuff like that.
AMC and HBO.
All of these people, like a dozen right away that you can think of. Are all looking for content.
That's right.
And guess they're going to be scouring.
Absolutely.
The comic book world.
That's right.
You know, the video game world, obviously.
There's thousands of stories in the comic book world that are just ripe for the picking, right? So.
Yeah. So
and you got to
exciting
remember,
times.
Stuff like this, Powers, or whatever TV show for that matter, the lower the budget, the better. So if you can get away without having Superman flying and laser beams and explosions everywhere, if you can create like a true gritty like crime.
Problem is, Powers does have superheroes in it.
Powers does have some superheroes.
Yeah.
But content. They could start pulling all the stuff that doesn't have that just because it's smaller budget. They can test the waters.
Yeah. All right, listen.
Wonderful.
Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today.
Hey, Comic Culture is produced wonderfully by Shecky Feldstein. engineered by Chris Owen. And we're heard on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. Please leave your comments at comicbookdaily.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the podcast, and there's a comments field. And please add some comments.
All right. Please go and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.